Hey everybody, welcome to NCC Online. My name is Pastor Rob. Great to be with you again today. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to start with a couple of very brief 516 updates. 516, of course, is our ministry to help our community to live out our vision, to become a compelling presence for Christ in very, very practical ways. It's from Matthew 5:16, as you may already know. We are in the midst of working with Cuba. That's one big project that we've been doing for about 5 or 6 years now. As you may know, if you've been watching the news, Cuba is in a desperate situation. So we've been trying to lean in to our pastors there that we've been supporting over this past year to see what the needs are. And we're prayerfully considering next steps on that one. Please pray with us. We also just this week sent some money to the Manis family. You may know that Pastor Clay Manis's family, their house burned down this past week, tragically, to the ground. And so everybody's safe and sound, but they're trying to recuperate some of their possessions. So New Community Church, you sent them a very a kind gift. Thank you for your giving for that. And then thirdly, we've been rehabbing a room at DSS in Pasquotank County to help with our expanded ministry for foster children. This is a room that helps foster parents and potential parents to be able to visit a child in a safe way, in a way that is seen by some of the workers there. And so we saw their room. We saw they needed help. They asked for the help, and we've been working on that very close to that rehab project, and look on social media in the future for some pictures and some updates for that one. Excuse me. So God is doing really exciting things, and he continues to work through your generosity as well as the vision that he's given us, and we're really excited about it. Today we're starting a new series, though. It's called Winning the War on Your Mind. And I was thinking about just how amazing the human brain is. Just a few thoughts about that. The human brain is extraordinary. Now, you may already know that, but it is something worth looking at even deeper. It contains about 100 billion neurons. I don't think I can count that high, but I know that's a lot. 100 billion neurons just in the brain. These are messengers which transmit information through electrical impulses and chemical signals throughout the brain. Now, that number, just so you know, it's the equivalent of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. That just blows my mind. I mean, wow, that's how vast and complex just the human brain is, that it has the number of neurons as the Milky Way galaxy. And by the way, just as an aside, when you look at a picture of our galaxy and you look at a picture of brain cells, kind of interesting how similar they look and almost might make you think that there was a designer behind both of them, the same designer, which of course there was, who put his hands of creativity on them and by design made them seem very similar. But it also shows you how extraordinary the human brain is. Now, these neurons are powered by trillions of connections, trillions with a T, called synapses. You might remember that from, like, I don't know, ninth grade biology or something. And these synapses, of course, are called a neuron forest. There's so many of them, trillions of these synapses. And it makes our brain virtually limitless. We don't know the boundaries of our brain because it's growing and expanding, and there's all these synapses. And if some of them even were to die off, there'd be other ones. People, by the way, have a myth that you only use 10% of your brain. Not true. You use 100% of your brain. You just use different parts of it at different times. It's an incredible vehicle for thinking, seeing, and acting. And the Bible says, in one short sentence in Proverbs, this: be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful what you think with all of those neurons and those trillions of synapses and the way it connects to your speech, and then it connects to your actions and really your lifestyle, because that runs your life. And we all know that's true. It's the power that God gave us for good or for bad. And so that's why we're doing the series, Winning the War in Your Mind, because if you can be careful what you think, then your life will act accordingly one way or the other. And so we want that to be God's way. We want to lean into the Spirit's power. We want to have a renewal of our mind. Margaret Thatcher said it this way. This was a quote that was attributed to her, and it's helpful, and it's similar to what the Bible already taught us. She said, "Watch your thoughts, because they become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. We all know this is true. Watch your habits, for they become your character. What you habitually do is your character. And watch your character because that's your destiny. What we think we become, my father always said that, and I think I'm fine. What we think is what we become. And that's essentially what the proverb taught us. And a lot of the passages, as we'll see today, are pointing to that as we introduce this subject, winning the war on your mind, in your thought life, so that we can be better and more compelling followers of Jesus Christ. And that's hopefully what we all want. And with that in mind, would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you will bless the word of God today, that it will go out by your spirit. You will use it in power by every listener, get to every person's heart, and that you will do what you want to do with the seed that's planted there. And it will grow into a great forest. And you would help us to have your spirit's control on our mind and make good choices that would have a lifestyle bearing much fruit for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the way I want to go about introducing this subject is by four powerful biblical truths that will help us to win the war in our mind. So these are ones that we all need to know as introductory, but they're more than introductory. I think this is also an overview of what's so important in the battle of our minds. And by the way, this is loosely based on a book by Craig Groeschel called Winning the War in Your Mind. It's a new book that he's put out. If you want to read that, it'll go along with these sermons very well. And we're also doing some book giveaways online and on the NCC podcast Beyond Sundays. So you're definitely going to want to look at social media and the podcast to see how you can win that book. So here's the first biblical truth. Your thoughts absolutely can lie to you. This needs to be said because there's something about we human beings that when we have a thought pop into our mind, we automatically think it's true. That's human. That's how else can we go through life? It's your thought. Of course it's true, except it often isn't. It isn't true. And it's hard to think that way. It's hard to think we could be that fallible or that broken, but the Bible says we are. We're broken people. Apart from Christ renewing our mind, we're depraved, quite frankly, and we can go our own direction, as we all know, and our thoughts can be corrupted. And the devil can lie to us through our thoughts, and he does it all the time. And I've seen it as my perspective as a pastor, where people will think these thoughts and they'll assume they're from God, or at least from their own good intuition, and they'll follow them willy-nilly without testing them, and pretty soon they're going down a road that leads them in a terrible direction. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So God tells us in many places that his thoughts are so much higher above ours, that our thoughts fall far short. Our best thoughts are not merely what God has in his mind. And so we need to be humble and firstly take a posture that our thoughts can get us off track real easily, that they are broken, that they often are coming from a bad place, or we're being lied to from an evil place, from the devil himself, and that our whole really goal of existence through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit is to lean in more and more to find God's thoughts, and he's given them to us, again, through the Spirit and through his Word. I think of this like coaching kids basketball, which I did for many years. I think I've put my coaching whistle up for my life. I'm not sure, but I've always done that, and it's always been enjoyable when my kids were younger. And the thing about coaching is kids don't always want to listen. And when you're in the heat of a game and you want the best for them, you want to win, but you also want to teach them how to win, and you want to teach them how to play this game. You want nothing but the right things for them. They don't always listen to that advice, as we all know as coaches. And it's difficult because there are all kinds of noise going on during a game. You hear the other coach's voice, and that coach is yelling to their team. And should I listen to that? Well, no, because they don't want the best for you. You can hear your teammates' voices, and those are pretty good voices, but they're still not the coach's voice. They're saying, "Pass me the ball," and the coach doesn't want you to do that. You can hear, above all, you hear your parents screaming in the stands, and they're always saying, shoot the ball," but usually the coach doesn't want you to shoot the ball because you can't shoot. But that's a voice you might want to listen to because it's so loud. You hear the ref's whistles, and you hear all these different sounds. What do you listen to? Well, hearing the only voice that is 100% for you and trying to help you to have victory That's the voice you need to listen to. But in the Christian life, that can be very, very tricky. And Jesus talks about that, how his sheep, his followers, listen to his voice. They know his voice. They lean in. And we do that by living a godly life, by rooting our hearts of any kind of sinful behavior. We do it by living in the Spirit, by walking in the Spirit, many things that would take a long time to really do well and to figure out. But that's paramount. When a question I would ask you right now, just to pause for a second before we go any further, is what is your brain lying to you about? You may not know the answer to that. Many people don't. Assume that it's lying to you about something. And maybe you know. And a way to figure it out is, what are the thoughts that you recurringly are having? What are the thoughts that you have right when you wake up in the morning? They may be negative thoughts. They may be anxious thoughts. What are the thoughts that just keep pouring into your head like a pattern of behavior, and you don't even know why? What are those thoughts? Those could be very well the wrong thoughts or the lies that you're hearing. Here's some of the ways that the brain can trick us. It can trick us into thinking our situation is way worse than it actually is. That's a top thing the brain does. It probably does it to try to protect us. But the reality is it can make us anxious. It can make us fearful and fretful. It can keep us from following God. It can make us do all kinds of bad behavior or try to find behavior that makes us feel better. And so we need to realize if your brain's making a situation seem 10 times worse than it actually is, it's lying to you. The brain can also convince you to do something that you don't really want to do. We see that in the Apostle Paul, where he speaks about that. I'll show you that verse in a second, where it's sort of pushing you should do this. And deep down, you know you shouldn't, but your brain's telling, yeah, you really should. You'll feel better if you do this. Get it off your chest on Facebook. Tell that person what you really think of them. Go and do this behavior that will make you feel better. And it doesn't. And ultimately, your brain can trick you into being the kind of person that you do not want to be. Take a look at Romans 7:15. So here we see Paul, and he's in a state of stress. And he says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So Paul is honest, and he lays it all out there for us. We see what he's thinking internally. And although he's one of the greatest Christians that there ever was, he admits that there's an internal struggle within him. Now, Paul mostly did what was right, but at times he didn't. He did what he hated. He did sin. He hurt people. And even as a Christian, he fell short of God's standard, his glory. And so he's honest with us that there's something in his brain that's telling him the wrong thing to do. He goes on, verse 22. I love God's law, he says, with all my heart. I love the commands of King Jesus. I love the scriptures. But there's another power within me that is at war, notice, with my mind. This is the winning the war of your mind. There's something going on. The Bible calls it the flesh. It's at war with our spirit. It's at war with our thinking. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So even as a Holy Spirit-filled Christian, I can still have a depraved nature. I can still have the sin within me. And it's at war with me. It does not want the spirit to win out. It does not want good things for my life. And every person on planet Earth, Christian or not, understands this conflict, that there's something going wrong sometimes with our mind and that we ought to be very, very cautious. Let me give you a really sort of inane example, and that is food. We all have a relationship with food. Food can be a tricky thing for all of us, and it can cause us to stumble, but usually it's not a big, big thing in our life, although it could be. But for me, I know I get tempted at night. So I'm really hungry at night for whatever reason. And I know if I eat something that's junk food at night, I'm going to feel awful. I'm going to pay for it. And maybe my weight will go up and maybe I'll feel miserable the next day. That's pretty typical. And for some reason, I know that deep down. I've experienced that. But right around 10 o'clock, that's my magic number, I'll be watching a basketball game. That's pretty typical, trying to unwind and enjoy a basketball game. And a commercial will come on, for example, of a juicy cheeseburger. And I don't know why, but the fast food cheeseburgers always look good on commercials. They never look good in person, but they always look good in the commercials. And this one has bacon on it, which makes everything better. And I'm almost salivating. I'm not hungry. I've already eaten a good meal. I probably already had a snack. There's nothing about me that should want to eat this. But when I see it, my brain is telling me, you should eat that. You can't actually eat it because it's on the TV. So go to your refrigerator or to the pantry and find some junk food. And usually it's telling me, get the worst kind of junk food, stuff that you know makes you feel sick the next day. Now, if I'm winning the war in my mind on this, just this little food example, I'm going to say no to that voice. I'm going to say that is a lie. I fell for that trap many times before. I'm not going to go do that because I know that that will be something that I feel bad about later. Now, the same thing happens with bigger issues, sin in our lives, sin habits, addictions, how we treat others, the words that come out of our mouth that we wish they hadn't come out of our mouth. I didn't want to say that thing to the person I love the most, but something in my brain tricked me and said, you should say that right now. It'll make you feel better. Well, did it? No, it didn't make me feel better. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, there's things I know are wrong. I love God's word. I want to do his commandments, but there's times where my brain wins and it tricks me into doing what I don't want to do. Now, the second problem, and this is the second biblical truth, according to scripture, goes even deeper. It's that wrong thoughts can hold you captive. This is the problem. So you say, well, lying in your mind, maybe it's bad, but what's really bad is when we believe those lies, we don't even know that we're believing them sometimes, and a sort of captivity takes place. The key scripture for this series, and certainly for today, is 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. I'm going to read that now, and pay close attention to this powerful scripture from Paul. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought in our brains to make it obedient to Christ. So here you have a bunch of compact teaching from the Word of God, really important stuff. And the one I want you to notice first is that we have these strongholds that get set up. He talks about them here. This word stronghold is only in this verse. It's the only place that this particular word is found in the Bible. And when I looked it up, it's ukaroma, and it means a fortress or a strong defense. It could be like think of an ancient sort of first century rock wall. That's kind of the picture here of some sort of fortress that gets set around us. And that sounds sort of positive, but the problem is it isn't. Because what he means here isn't just a fortress to protect you. It's actually a prison that walls you in. And as you believe these lies, these sort of false teachings that the devil brings into your life some way or the other, and you start to act out of them, you become a prison in your own fortress. And these walls are high, he says. This is serious business. This is a serious tone. Now, when you look at the science again, science now teaches us so many things that the Bible already told us. Good reason to just trust God at his word, by the way. But it's fun, isn't it, when the science keeps up and tells us some really cool things and explains it at a deeper level, what God has done. And the science now knows that the average person has between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts in their brain every day. That's a lot of thinking. And so maybe a passive day, you only have about 12,000, but if you're really active in your mind, you're gonna have like 60,000 thoughts, probably somewhere in between there. But here's an interesting fact. They also know that 95% of those thoughts that you have every day, 95% of them are the same repeated thoughts that you had the day before and the day before and the day before. Now that's a little bit tragic. The brain has all this capacity. We're super intelligent. Our ability to learn is vast. But we have the same 95% thoughts every day. And we only have 5% that are unique. And on top of that, they now know that 80% of our thoughts are negative. Wow. Now we know that by our experience, don't we? And we've been talking about that. We talked about that in our emotions series We know that. We know that we're sort of bent toward, and that's the broken conditions humans are in apart from Christ. That's why last week we talked about having joy in our lives. Go back and listen to that if you missed that message. Really important. But we have all these negative thoughts, cynical thoughts about ourselves, about God, about others, about our relationships, about what's going on in our lives. And what happens, science says, is it's kind of like a stronghold, like Paul said. It's kind of like a pathway or a channel or a rut that is created in our brain. We call them neural pathways. That's what science calls them. So you have these negative thoughts. And the reason why you repeat them day after day is you've made this sort of ingrained pathway through your neural connections in your brain. There's literally a pathway through the neurons that we talked about earlier. And so it's so easy to go into that groove because you've made the groove. It's really hard to bust out of it. That's why Paul speaks so powerfully here. How do you get out of this repetition? Think of it this way. When I was a kid, we had to walk a pretty decent way to the bus stop. It was like three blocks. But it was so much easier, it was about a 20-minute walk. It was so much easier to cut through the woods. And we would cut through the woods and sometimes people's properties. And we made a path. After years of doing that, we had a path. All the neighborhood kids took it and we would cut through the woods and we would cut through some people's yards, and there was a walking path that got over and over again on the way to school and on the way back. On the way to school, and times a lot of kids in our neighborhood, and there was a groove there. There was no more grass there. Sorry for some people's lawns. And there were no bushes overgrown. It was a very clear path. You wouldn't go any other way because you could follow the path. That's what happens in our brains. Why wouldn't it? It's the path of least resistance. Your brain takes it, even if it's wrong. That's how habits are formed, good or bad. So he says, you got to demolish the stronghold. Wow, that's tough. This is where the spiritual battle comes in. This is where we have to take God at his word that it can be done. Only in the supernatural, because it says you're not fighting like the world does with the flesh and blood. You're fighting in a spiritual battle. And only by the Holy Spirit can you demolish the stronghold that's been built up either by the evil one or even by your own device. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Oh, okay. We know that tension. So in our brains, we have these neural pathways, Bible calls them strongholds, that we've allowed to build up in our minds, and we're supposed to do it differently. So tear them down. Now, before you say, yes, I want to tear them down, understand this is radical surgery. It's spiritual surgery. It's profound and it's effective, but I don't want you to just walk away from the message saying, yeah, I'll do it, and not understand what you're saying. Because to do it, firstly, is to give your life over to Christ 100%. It's to surrender to God and say, yes, I can't do this on my own. It's a spiritual battle. I need to surrender to God. And secondly, it's to give up of my life. It's to give up of my rights. It's to say, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what, even if it's painful. I'm going to take the life of Christ. I'm going to bear his cross. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to, in a sense, reject my own flesh and walk with Christ. I hope you want that because it's a good life. But it's not easy. That's what it means to demolish these strongholds. And that is the third truth. It's the only way to demolish is to demolish the strongholds. Go back to verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. So that's what we do. We demolish these strongholds and we allow God to do his deeper work in our lives. And what happens is that we actually start to create new pathways in our brain, ones that we can't even see, that are healthy and good, and they're following God, and I believe created by the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you right now, lest you get discouraged by this sounds too hard, not only it can be done, but you already have the freedom. The Bible talks in a tense throughout the New Testament that is already been done. It's already been done in Christ. It already happened when Christ died on the cross for you. He has already given you freedom. He's already unlocked the door for you to walk out of. He's already, in a sense, torn down the strongholds. You just don't realize it. You feel like they're there. I read a story this week about the great Harry Houdini, and made me think of this. Harry Houdini, of course, greatest escape artist ever. And one of the things he did was he would go from town to town and show off. And he liked to go to the jails. And he would get the jailer to allow him to do a little show in the jail. And he would bring a lot of people around. They would gather around the jail. And he would break out of any jail. He was able to do that. He could get out of virtually any jail they put him in. And people were amazed by that. But he went to one town, according to the story I read. And the jailer knew his trick. He knew what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to do it. So the jailer played a trick on Houdini. And he actually put him in the cell. And instead of turning the key to lock it, he turned the key and faked locking it and did not lock the jail. Houdini, according to the story, tried and tried. But when he got to the point of his trick to unlock it, he was actually locking the door on himself. They would reset it. He did it again and again. He eventually, apparently for the first time, gave up. And he threw in the towel and said, I can't break out of this jail. Ironically, it was never locked. He was able to walk out the door at any time. But because his mind was telling him the door was locked, everything he was doing was reversing it and making himself trapped. And we do that as followers of Jesus. We get into these bad habits. We get into these addictions. And we think, oh, I'll never be able to overcome that. And the Bible says, you already overcame it. Christ already did all the work. He did all the heavy lifting. It's just for you to believe it and act on it. The door is unlocked. Church, listen. Today is the day to walk out of the chains that have been keeping you in bondage. And I pray by God's Spirit you would do it. It's His power. He gets the credit. He alone can do it in your life, and He will. And He's done it for so many, and He'll do it for you too. And then the fourth biblical truth that we need to know as we get started on this series, How to Win the War of Your Mind, is this. You need to replace the old ways with new ways. I don't want to have anyone leave hearing just there and stopping and saying, okay, God, knock down the strongholds in my life and I'm ready to go. Because the reality is many people try to take that step only to have new or worse strongholds in their lives. They demolish one set of bad patterns. They stop believing some of the lies that the brain's telling them, but they never replace them with the truth. And as a result, we can very easily pick up some other bad habit or destructive sin pattern or wrong thinking or some other lie. It's intrinsic in the way God set it up that not only do we allow the stronghold to be demolished, but we put in something else. So notice back to the key passage, verse 5. It says, we take every thought captive and we make it obedient to Christ. So this says we are now allowing Christ in a more fuller way. It's more life in the Spirit is another way the Bible says it. It's by obeying His word. We put the truth of Scripture in there by ingesting God's word like you're doing right now through a sermon, through a podcast, wink, 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 NCC Beyond Sundays, through your daily time with God, which I know that you want to have that even if you've been struggling. It's time to get back into that. We put God's word as a replacement, and we do that in all kinds of ways. And when we do that, the Bible calls it the renewing of our mind. And that's such an important concept to this message in this series. For example, in Romans 12:2, where the Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Now, that pattern is kind of like the neural pathway that we've built up. It's just like everybody's doing the same thing. Don't conform to that way. Break out of that stronghold. And what? Be transformed. Bigger word. Be transformed, totally different, by the renewing of your mind. So we not only throw out the bad and demolish the stronghold, but we receive the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and we allow our thoughts to become obedient to Christ. You won't do it perfectly, but you can do it victoriously, consistently, day by day, and you'll get better and better at it. And I'm telling you, this is the victorious life that every Christian wants to have and Christ wants you to have. And with that in mind, I want to have a brief prayer time right now. Before you shut the video off, I know you'd be tempted to. Rob's done talking. No, hang on just for a very short time. And bow with me in prayer, if you're willing. If you're not willing, then that's okay. You're just not ready yet, and that's okay. But if you're willing, pray with me right now. God can transcend time and space if you're praying this prayer at an on-demand time later in the week. Doesn't matter, because God is always in real time. But I will give you just a moment to think about what's been holding you back. Think about whatever lie popped in your head when I asked the question earlier that your brain's been believing you know it's wrong. Think about whatever bad habit that's been in your life, whatever sin pattern that you've allowed. Think about the thing that you haven't been able to break, and pray right now. Lord, take this stronghold away from me. I believe that you've already opened up the door of my heart and life, that you want to replace it with your Holy Spirit, with your word, with King Jesus himself, and that today I commit to obedience to you anew. Help me to live a victorious life in Jesus' name. Now you can fill in the blanks of that prayer with your own prayer, but that's the basis. But it's more about your heart having faith and belief and sincerity of that belief as you pray to him. And you can spend some more time after this in prayer if you'd like. But claim that victory. Today's the day. He wants you to be free. And also, I hope that you stick around for the next week and the next 3 weeks of this series after this one so that you can go even deeper in this topic so that God could continue to feed you with his word. Don't forget to check out NCC Beyond Sundays, as I mentioned earlier. We're trying to put that podcast out every early Monday morning so it's ready for your commute to work, or if you're at home while you're doing some housework or whatever. It's short and sweet, 15 minutes or less. You can find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And this week, if you write a review, you're going to be put into a drawing to win a free copy of the book that we mentioned earlier, Craig Groeschel's Winning the War of Your Mind. So you're not going to want to miss it. Have a great day.